Amen. How many people want to talk about who is going to see God? Matthew 5, verse 8, Jesus tells us exactly who's going to see God, who's going to perceive and know him here on earth and be with him eternally. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The stewardship of our hearts is paramount in our relationship with the Lord. I love Proverbs 4:23, right? Keep, that means to guard, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's a great memory verse, isn't it? Matthew 5, verse 8, as usual in the King James Bible, keep thy heart with all, notice, with all diligence. Wow. With all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our whole life is going to be driven by and anchored in what's in our heart. In fact, remember, Jesus told us in the book of Mark that everything in our life that we see happening on the outside is coming from the inside. Notice, from within. For from within, actually, Mark 7:20, and he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man." And then he says, "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these things come from where? Within, from the heart of men, and defile the man. Now, in the same way, the fruit of the Spirit is in the hearts of men as we abide in Christ. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So the fruit of our lives is all anchored in the source. The Hebrew word for heart is source. And wherever our hearts are, our words and our actions are going to come out of that, whatever your heart is. I had another young man today tell me, "How do you know my heart? How do you know who I am?" I said, "Well, Jesus said we know each other and ourselves by what comes out of our heart," right? Matthew 12:34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So everybody that I know, everybody that you know, they know you by your fruits, the fruit of your mouth in part. In fact, even a child, the Bible says, even a child is known by his doings. Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruits." We can know ourselves. Remember, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. So we can examine, and we should daily, ourselves by examining the fruit of our lives. Has anybody else ever caught themselves where something flew out of your mouth and you went, "Oh boy, where did that come from," right? Well, now from reading the scriptures, it's self-evident through the scriptures that that came from our heart. And then we draw back into fresh repentance, right? We realize that we've been drifting. We are to examine ourselves, and we are to know, Matthew 7, we are to know everybody by the fruit. And somebody might get upset and say, "Why are you trying to examine me?" Well, if you'll get your heart right, you won't have anything to hide, because we know you as well as you know us by the fruit of our lives. And Jesus says, "How can good fruit come out of a bad tree?" It can't. And bad fruit cannot come out of a good tree. And so, blessed are, Jesus said, those who are blessed are those who have a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. That's going to be the only people that are going to be with Christ for eternity. Those who chose to have a pure heart on earth. And in case you haven't noticed, I'm saying that facetiously, that's an all-out war to maintain and to cultivate. Fight the good fight of faith. We're in a fight. Return to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that a blessing? So notice Hebrews 12:4 speaks of striving against sin. "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood," striving against sin. So we're striving against sin, are we not? And remember, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. There's a war going on within us. This is important to talk about. because we can be in silent desperation, but the Word of God, the entrance of the Word of God, bringeth light. Psalm 119, 130. I love it. It shines the light of God's truth into our hearts. And part of that is that the flesh, Galatians 5, 17 and 18, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and it's a capital S here, and the Spirit, capital S, against the flesh. Remember Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so that's why we have to be crucified with Christ. That's not a suggestion. That's a command of God, because we cannot walk with Him who is holy, holy, holy if we're not overcoming sin. Our initial salvation, Jesus washed away all of our sins.
And the Apostle Paul made it clear that saving grace does not continue in the life of the person who has been saved and yet is going back into sin. Take a look closely in the King James Bible at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, where the Apostle Paul presents a rhetorical question, and he says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein, or in sin? And then he says that we do not have the saving grace of God abounding toward us if we live in sin. Romans 6, verse 1 and 2.
It behooves us to understand that there is a war going on in us, and we must keep fighting the good fight of faith. That war is going to be won by the cross, not just our effort. Our effort needs to be first and foremost in surrender. He must increase, but I must decrease. John 3:30, fresh surrender. That would be today and momentarily even. And he that is dead is freed from sin. So how are we going to have a pure heart? Through the cross. You cannot separate this core gospel message, which is at the center of the original gospel, from any other part of the Word of God, the cross. If Todd is dying downward, he's surrendering. Lord, just take over, Lord. Your will be done, not mine. When I am weak, then am I strong, because you're raising me up. And maybe sing the song, I surrender all, and just pray. And when you're dead, you're hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. He that is dead, Paul said, is freed from sin. Just one statement that is beyond profound right there, Romans 6:7. Why am I struggling with sin? Well, you just need to be crucified afresh, to return to the Lord. He told you these things. Come before my throne of grace. In repentance, return, turn again to the Lord to obtain mercy. Why? Because you sinned. And grace to help in time of need. Grace, divine enablement. Lord, I want to be dead so that I'm freed from the sin that would defile me in your holy eyes. Romans 6:7. So for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's a war inside of us, and it's going to be won through the crucified life. Amen. And these are contrary the one to the other. There's that carnal mind, that evil, as Paul spoke about it in Romans 7, that is still in us. Otherwise, there'd be no need for the crucified life. Something's got to die, and that something isn't good. It's called sin. And it has a life of its own. And the only way to put a lid on it, if you will, to nullify it, is through the crucified life. We know it's wrong, but then we try to wrestle on our own terms. We can't overcome the flesh through the flesh. We have to walk in the prescription of Christ, and we're never, as disciples of Christ, not going to be being led by the Holy Spirit back to the cross if we drift. But then we learn to sit at His feet and be anchored in what He mandated. And He said, if you're going to follow me, you must deny yourself, disown yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. We must be, as Paul put it, crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul declared, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Also, Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust.
Galatians 5:24. It seems good to declare it out loud out of our own mouths.
We say, I am crucified with Christ. Looking unto Jesus, bouncing back to Hebrews 12:1-4, where it says we're striving against sin. But the way we overcome sin, Romans 7:18, oh, wretched man that I am. It does no good to deny that you have an evil, bent, iniquitous disposition outside of being in the present grace of Christ and crucified with Him. When the Bible says God gave you a new spirit, if you will, that you are a new creature and old things have passed away, when you were born again, clearly tells us that there is an old wicked nature contrasted with being a son of God, now born again, a new creature in Christ,
having put off the old man and doing that continually by way of the cross and putting on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24,
where you're regenerated. But every day, and even momentarily, we're going to decide which spirit, which man, the old man or the new man, that we're going to walk after. Put off the old man, Colossians 3, Ephesians 4, put off the old man and put on the new man. Now there must be some old man to put off for that to be in the Bible, and there must be the new man to put on. And the only way that that's going to happen successfully for us is through the cross life. So when he said that we're striving against sin, he, in that same passage, says that wherefore seeing we also, Hebrews 12:1, are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, many of which he already gave testimony to. And in the previous words here would be chapter 11, the heroes of the faith, we call it. So they've gone before us. They have gone before us. And so this must be the cloud of witnesses, or part of it, that's compass us about. This so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside, in light of this, in light of those who were blessed to have the victory through a pure heart that went before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. You ever realize you're carrying around a dead weight that you shouldn't be carrying around? There's weights that we're to lay aside, and the sin, we're to lay aside the sin, which says, what does sin do? It's the way of sin is death, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Isn't it a blessing that through the cross life, doing things God's way, not our own, that we are not even tempted with things that used to completely control us? God is so good. And the only way you can have that testimony is through the crucified life, which only you can decide to take up. That's your decision. That's why I'm not hollering at anybody here. We're talking the word, the facts of the word. So we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. That means endurance, perseverance. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. When we're looking unto Jesus, that doesn't mean just lift your hands and tell him how much you love him, which is amazingly important, but also remembering what he said and going back to it and saying, when he said, if you're going to follow me, you got to do it this way. You got to deny yourself, take up the cross, be crucified with me, and follow me. That's how it's done. Because that's the only way sin is going to be separated from us, and we're going to be separated from it. It's through the crucified life. Otherwise, you got sin back in your life that he washed you from initially when he saved you, and that's contaminating your relationship with him. So he gave us the solution of the cross. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That right there is a very important verse to meditate upon, of how Jesus despised. What did he despise? Right here, it says he despised the shame and everything that came against him in light of going to that cross to redeem us, because he chose rather to die for us than to live without us. Think about that great love. Everything in hell and this sinful world was against Christ to stop him from going to the cross to redeem fallen mankind back to himself. But he refused to be deterred. And perhaps we see here that we are to refuse to be deterred from our cross.
Life.
And no, we're not dying on any cross to redeem ourselves. We're just talking about being crucified with Christ, Romans 6, and thereby glorifying God to live freed from sin. Romans 6, 7, he that is dead, is crucified, dead and buried, is freed from sin. That's such a simple and profound truth. If I'm not free from sin, what does that mean? I'm not dead. I'm not crucified. Clearly, he that is dead is freed from sin. We're going to pray in just a minute. David, a man of God, said to have a heart after the Lord, had fallen into gross sin and was in desperate danger and in need of repentance and the mercy of God. That's all recorded in 2 Samuel 11, where he should have been at war. He should have been fighting the good fight of faith. But no, he stayed back and he did what we should never do. He took a vacation from God. Don't ever do it. Calamity will ensue every time. And he saw a woman and was drawn by his own lust to commit adultery with her and then have her husband killed and then try to cover it all up, etc. And so his prayer of repentance after God sent Nathan the prophet to rebuke him brought him back to his senses. How many people know that open rebuke is better than secret love, right? Proverbs 27, 5 and 6. Oh, may God bless the Nathans of our day. Amen. The psalmist, this great David that we're talking about right now as we come in for a close, said this. He said, let the righteous smite me, not the unrighteous, although God can use them too at times. Let the righteous smite me. Wow, he's asking to be smitten. What's going to happen when we're smitten by the righteous, like Nathan did to David when he gave him the parable that rebuked him and called him to accountability for his sin? David had learned when he wrote this, he had already learned and been through that ordeal where Nathan rebuked him. God used Nathan, a righteous man, to smite David. He said, it shall, when I'm smitten by the righteous, it shall be a kindness. Remember, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he rebukes. Why? Because he sees the end of our sin, and that would be eternal damnation. And so he's gracious enough to do whatever it takes to send even Nathans into our lives to rebuke us in our sin. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. If we take on this disposition, that's going to bode really well in the kingdom. Amen. Lord, let the righteous smite me. I know it'll be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil. It's going to result in healing, in the oil of your grace and forgiveness and mercy and restoration. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamity. So David cries out to be corrected when it's needed by the righteous. And in Psalm 51, David says, among other things, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge, notice he said, cleanse me from my sin, not my mistake or fault. It wasn't an affair, it was adultery, right? It wasn't being promiscuous. It was fornication. God wants us to be honest, and that would be to demonstrate ourselves in calling what we did what he calls it in the Word, in the King James Bible. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me against thee. He's acknowledging them. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. Remember, this message started off with Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart. That's the inward parts. as he speaks of here, for they shall see God. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. That is not the whole psalm. That's Psalm 51, 1 through 8. Heavenly Father, you are precious, and we love you. And we come to you now asking you to have mercy upon us, acknowledging our sins specifically before you, and that we sinned against you first and foremost. You alone are holy, holy, holy. Forgive us for our spiritual adultery, self-idolatry, of not putting you first, not honoring you above all, supremely. And may you grant repentance to us to return now to you, Lord, to your throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we denounce self-idolatry, spiritual adultery, and all other uncleanness of sin that defiles us. And we put you first, Lord, as the first love of our lives. We seek you and worship you supremely in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.